This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 273, Virtually There. Hello, this is Michael Martin, and I'm delighted to be back again with great friends Michael Rowe and Andy Piper for yet another edition of our work at home, stay at home, podcast at home, gamesatwork.biz. Hey, Andy, how are you doing today across the pond?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. I've had a strange week, a bit up and down, but the weather's really perked up for the weekend, so I'm looking forward to getting some time away from the screen. And doing good. There's been a lot of interesting stuff happening on the world of the internet.
It sure has, and can't wait to get to it. I hope you enjoyed your outdoor camping activities. You've inspired me. I'm looking forward to doing that with our kiddos here too in short order. So I'm guessing you're back in the house now.
Yeah, I've been allowed back into the house. got a lot of board gaming done. Had a lot of fun. It was very pleasant.
Oh, wonderful. Michael, how about you? How are things in your neck of the woods?
In my neck of the woods, I'm over here at gamesathome.biz. You know, if it were easy to do, I would flip the name of the show so quickly for that. Just for another 6 months. At least that's what it feels like.
We could do that on the Twitter ID.
yeah, we could. We could. Doing well. It's fun. It's exciting. Really looking forward to today's chew and discussion. And let's rock and roll.
Yeah, let's do. So many cool things. So hopefully we're going to get to most of them. And if whatever we don't get to, it'll be in the show notes. So you know, don't you worry. You will have your fair share of news. We're starting off with a little bit of AR, and Michael, I was remembering the example back again, you know, we're talking Second Life so many times about taking pictures of real world objects. And I think it was like a sculpture and doing a 3D model rendering of it so that you could create it in Second Life. Well, yeah. Apparently there's an app that lets you do this into ARKit.
Well, yeah, ARKit add-on is really, really cool. There were a couple of different apps. I know Microsoft did something. Adobe did a thing where you would take three or four pictures. The more pictures you took going around the object, the easier it would capture and render the object. I had a 3D scanner for a while, but this is really cool because hopefully it will do more than just render and try to skin, but give you a really meaningful object in a very easy way to deal with it. So this is interesting. I'd like to see, you know, what I could do with it once I have time to play with it. I wonder if you could pull it out and throw it down onto my 3D printer.
Ooh.
Well, I think this is based on two photos, right? So it's similar to the, in some ways, it's similar to the fake 3D effect you get on some websites where you can take a true depth type photo or a portrait style photo and it will make it into kind of a 3D-ish thing. I think when you get to the combining it with LiDAR and other technologies and techniques, I think this is particularly exciting. But yeah, I may be misunderstanding because I'm not sufficiently familiar with how the 3D scanning works.
Yeah, the 3D scanner that I had was kind of like a turntable. What's a turntable, right? You ask, right? And you put the object on it, and it had an IR blaster and a sensor at kind of 45-degree angles of each other. And as the thing slowly rotated, it would blast it with one side and capture it from the other to get that stereoscopic distance view. And then give you that mesh. But, of course, it lost all of the context, right, or colors or anything else. It literally just gave you a mesh of triangles.
I did I sat in a what do you call those camper vans? Things.
Yeah, there was a company that did that that would scan your whole body for it, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so I sat in one of those at one of the O'Reilly conferences a few years ago, and I have a mesh of an imperfect mesh of me sitting there, which is recognizably, if you look at it, a shape of me, but as you say, there's no detail.
Yeah, well, my problem,
meaning to get it printed up, but I've never done it.
My problem is, and luckily I can't find the mesh anymore, but I had one of me, and literally they gave you a privacy room and you could strip down to your underwear.
Wow.
So I did. and it was when I was a little bit heavier than I am right now, so I'm kind of glad I've lost that mesh, but I always wanted to print it, and then I pulled it up on my computer and I said, no, I don't want to print this.
It might have this really jagged sort of base to it because it was... you know, partial, but I basically was spun around, as you say, on a turntable, on a chair, in front of I think a stereoscopic or some similar camera. Airstream, that's the thing I was thinking of, the Airstream kind of camper van.
The silver ones.
Somebody brought that along to, somebody brought one of those to the event and had, like, kitted it out with all of this 3D scanning stuff, and that was fun. So I do have the mesh, but I've never done anything with it.
I like the ones where they actually have multiple cameras, like 20, 40 plus cameras, and it comes at you from all directions and just takes one big snap. But again, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to print me.
Yeah, well, that
I've
level
seen
of mocap.
And I don't want that.
Yeah, that level of mocap is entirely different. You know, like if we were to put you like into an NBA game or something like that, where you could, you know, just jam, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't care there either because I would be, you know, definitely not 6'8".
But we
maybe
could
stretch
that.
It, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. We can improve that. You. We can make you
better.
So I just finished reading Change Agent, the book by Daniel Suarez. I think we talked about it on the show a couple of weeks back. And yes, we can fix that. If you haven't read it, I recommend.
So speaking about sports and virtual reality, interesting article came across about Apple acquiring the startup called NextVR. And if I remember correctly, these are the guys that actually produced the method to get content from NBA games and others directly to your VR headset.
Yes.
Am I remembering that right?
Yes. They were doing three-dimensional... event recording and playback. It's the best way mm-hmm. I can describe it. It's a great idea. I think we talked about them or a similar company about go to the concert, sit in the front row. Maybe you actually get to see what it's like on stage. For your NBA example earlier, maybe you can imagine yourself in the middle of the court as the guard goes running past. I think this is really interesting, especially with the current amount of content that's being generated for all the streaming services. And you take that with the rumors again of Apple releasing AR glasses in 2022 now. Imagine it's always 2 years out.
I saw the same news story about the analyst giving that date and giving a bit more information about, you know, what was expected and some more mock-ups of random people that were drawing pictures of what they think Apple should or could, might, maybe one day, possibly, produce. I thought that was an interesting combination of the two news items or the two rumors. Well, physical, actual, definite news item in terms of the acquisition and then the maybe thing. But yeah, as Michael said, the Next, I believe, have had some pretty strong relationships in the sports area compared to others, and it's definitely very interesting. Having been doing a bit of work around VR recently, it's interesting to see how some of these things are beginning to evolve and continue to merge into what we might think of as more mainstream.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, speaking of which, our next article here from Forbes is right in line with some of the things we've been mentioning on our previous couple of episodes about Fortnite and the Party Royale, so the non-shooter version, is on the way to becoming the metaverse, although that, Andy, kind of like you were just saying, is probably a couple of years out still, too. So
amazing, isn't it? I say this may surprise some of our listeners, or it may not, but I hadn't. I think I signed up for a Fortnite account around the same time that PUBG became really popular with a lot of those first-person shooter games. And mm-hmm. I got more into PUBG than I did Fortnite because I kind of thought that Fortnite was a bit more cartoony and so on, which it was. so then yesterday, I had a day off work and I was installing Fortnite on my iPad. And I thought, you know, I'll give this mobile gaming version a try. And had no idea what I was doing very, very quickly. I messaged I messaged my niece and said, are you good at Fortnite? Can you help me? I think on my second game, I realized that I was on a team and that somebody had tried to help me by trying to build some kind of building over my head when I was nearly shot to help me. And then I was looking at this and thinking, I was in this space and thinking, where's this party royale mode? I just want to go to a concert. I'm bored now. I'm too old for this.
Well, it's funny.
It was fun.
Yeah, I tried the mobile version on the iPad a year or so ago, and I suck at first-person shooters anyway. And I found it really enjoyable to die within the first 10 to 15 seconds and just watch the rest of the game, because that's usually what happened.
I ended up, it turns out the person that was trying to save me was the last person standing, and we won. So I got some XP for that.
Oh.
I was pretty happy.
There you go. That was quite kind.
That's
of them.
Rock.
It was very kind of them. They were like level 37. I was like level 4, and they were obviously took pity on some newcomer. Yeah, but some it was
level noob. Level noob.
Well, I still have to give it a shot, and I've not even signed into Fortnite even once.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Yeah, no pun intended. But you know. There you are. Let's move to the next one. And I'm really intrigued to see and hear here what the two of you think of this. An Inverse article talks about why music helps us connect in isolation and why there are so many things that are happening these days that are music related, whether it's people coming out to their balconies and singing. I heard a story about a sousaphone player walking up and down the street, you know, playing songs this week on an NPR article, and so much more. But the notion behind this particular article talks about the power of music to connect and move, even when you are remote from one another, and even when the full duplex quality that you really kind of need to be able to sing together effectively and for reals is not there, right? The environments that we have around all of the Zoom and WebEx and other Skype and so on and so forth just don't work it. But the act of singing and being able to sing together is making such a difference. Michael, this is something I know you're super passionate about. It's one of the things you do. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
So, yeah, I've watched a couple of these specials going on right now around COVID-19, and they've been doing, you know, various singers from around the globe singing together, et cetera. And I enjoy watching those. I can tell you personally, I hate singing on Zoom or any of those things for the exact reasons as you would imagine. There's no feedback. Mm-hmm. I don't like singing when I'm not ready to sing, right? So I don't like people to hear me when I'm practicing. I like to be on stage in front of an audience and getting the vibe and the feedback from the audience when I sing. That's very selfish of me, and I know it, and I don't care. but at the same time, I know how much work it takes to actually put together some of these. You know, you see these things, you know, choir got together and sang, you know, Ode to Joy. I'm like, no, they didn't. No, they didn't. They each sang individually into a camera with a click track, thank you, their ears, right? And then somebody spent a heck of a lot of time editing the video together to make it look like everybody sang together because of all the, you know, the duplex issues you were describing. And like I said, I enjoy it. Watching it, I will never do it. And it's a little bit disingenuous. So I know I'm the contrary person on this stuff, but I do think that music is integral to people's emotional state. It's why I try to listen to a lot more music right now, and I'm trying to reduce my news and podcast input because mm-hmm. I have way too much of that coming in. So I do like to see the people singing together, but I'd rather have them actually singing together. And there was an interesting study. It's that the average singer produces much more globules in the air.
Sheds more virus than
the average person, because one, we breathe deeper and we mm-hmm. push out more. It's much more projecting, so you're pushing it out further.
And you're in a constrained space.
And when you think about getting a choir together, you're getting 20, 40, 50, 100 people together in a closed space that are all doing this, and it's actually not healthy right now. So I have mixed feelings from that perspective, but I do enjoy watching these when they're edited correctly.
And that would be what I'd move on to, because my experience is I've got some friends who are in choirs like Michael, my friend in particular that I will share a link, I hope, to their piece. They're a group of singers from a casual choir in London, and they've produced really, I think it's an absolutely beautiful piece of music, collaboratively but not simultaneously, a song by Björk, which lends itself to that layering of voices, because of her, the nature of her, some of her music. The other amusing part was their outtakes, which were shared more privately with our friend group, of them individually recording their pieces, I think via Zoom or whatever they were using, and then having their blow, that wasn't quite what I meant moment on camera. So that was also entertaining to watch. But I think the finished product, if you have the right editor and the right music, can be quite absolutely stunningly beautiful. And in fact, I've been going on a kind of a geek holiday with a group of friends for the last, for the last sort of 8, 7, 6 years. I can't remember how many years. It used to be a geek conference called Nine Worlds out of London, but since then it's kind of broken up, and but a group of us have remained close friends and have remained trying to do things together in the summertime, and we've continued to do our Buffy and Disney and other geek sing-alongs, and we're looking to do this kind of thing again now remotely. So I'm looking forward to doing it, because I love the subject matter and I love my friends, and I have confidence that we can put something fun and entertaining together for all of us. Nice. Whether or not I'll be confident and happy about it being shared on the internet afterwards is another thing entirely, because I'm far from a professional singer. But I do think the general vibe of the article about singing and the ability of music to bring people together is wonderful.
Yeah,
but the technology is not there. You're quite right. I mean, the latency when people are in remote locations and trying to coincide, there's so many problems with making that seamless and work well.
Yeah,
I guess it's
about
just better.
Well, I guess does it really matter if it gets better? To be honest, and let me kind of reverse my thought for a second. As the person listening, do you care that it takes 30 hours to film a 5-minute video, right? Do you care that it takes all this effort? You just enjoy the performance, so
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I, Andy, to your point there, I kind of wonder that, necessity being the mother of invention here, that there could be big steps taken forward to create an easier way to not lose that part of the experience, so that you don't have that latency anymore. So I kind of wonder, in our new abnormal, if that's coming, down the pike. And I wonder, Michael, if it were, if that might change your mind from the comments that you're making earlier. You know, you'd still be able to sing on your own time and on your own schedule and when you're ready. But, you know, if some of those problems would be removed, would that help, or is it you still need that audience feedback?
Well, it's funny. So even when I'm practicing at home for a piece and then I practice with the group, I sing differently with the group when we're all physically together. And it's, again, it's that communal sense. It's that vibe of being around other singers. It's very strange.
All right. Well,
maybe I'm just strange.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think we're all strange in one way or another. Maybe a teensy plug I'll make here too for my son, who has done some really incredible work in this regard, but he's done it all on his own. So he's done already many songs where he's the only player. So he plays trumpet, he plays drums, he plays keyboards. Some of the songs he's doing all three. The last song that he did Georgia on My Mind yesterday, and he recorded himself playing on the trumpet at one point 21 times. So it really creates the world of sound,
wall of sound,
you know, kind of feeling from it, because it's him playing individually multiple times joined together. And it's pretty fantastic. So moving for me anyway. and speaking of moving, let's move right along. There's an article that I saw, and I know you guys didn't have a chance to touch on this. To me, this was kind of an intriguing notion around going somewhere virtually. And the idea here behind Airbnb and Bumble, right? So it's a combination of dating apps and a combination of, you know, someone who's doing Airbnb sales of their space joining up to have a virtual experience, and they're doing contests along these lines. And this appealed to me just because I've been doing some of these sort of things, not dating, mind you, watch out, you know, you peoples. One of the examples I was talking about was doing a wine tasting. So like tonight I'm doing a wine tasting with my friend Gabor from Taste Hungry, and we'll be tasting several wines. We're going to do that over Zoom. So the latency is okay. If he's taking a sip while I'm taking a sip, that's, you know, that's all right. And we're going to have a couple of few friends with us do that with us at the same time, which will be super cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now, staying on that same theme about virtual experiences and getting someplace you aren't and enjoying it, there's an article here from Slash Film around, well, it's really kind of like a virtual experience around a roller coaster. And that was easy to do on YouTube already eons ago. You would actually feel like you're on the darn roller coaster just by watching the video. You didn't even need to be in VR. But this is an example of Rise of the Resistance. I did not watch the video yet, but I can imagine this is going to be a lot of fun to experience what it would be like to be at Disney in a socially distant way and experience the ride.
Yeah, no, I saw this one this week, and as somebody who, I'm not a big fan of theme parks, but I do want to see the Star Wars content that they did at the various theme parks over the last couple of years. That would be a great thing to do. I probably will not have a chance to do it. Seeing this, it's like, this is cool. I can experience the part that I really, really want to see, other than maybe eating the baby frogs. No, wait a minute. That's the Mandalorian, right? and so I like to live these experiences when I can't actually go and live these experiences. And given the fact that this is a recent launch, right? I think, what, last summer is when it came out, and then it's basically been shut down for the last few months. This is a great way to rebuild the hype around it and maybe get them some more traffic once the parks open back up at Disney World and Disneyland.
Yeah, I'm pivoting completely from the show notes here, but and the run of show, but also I've noticed that the Lego theme parks, what they're doing in order to kind of offset, specifically actually offset their losses from the fact that the parks are closed, because this video is just a hype builder for visiting the park. But the Lego parks have been offering kind of sets that have been exclusive to the stores in the parks as kind of one-off purchases. Of course, I missed the opportunity because I was too slow to actually purchase the architecture build of the Lego house from Billund, because it had sold out by the time I realized that they were doing this. But each park has its own like unique local stuff. No, I agree with you, Michael. I think you can experience, although, you know, it's shortened, right? I mean, it's a 15-minute ride in 3 minutes, so everything is dramatically shortened. It's reliving this because as we record today, I'm sitting in my own copy of the Millennium Falcon on a fake backgrounded video call. So I don't need this. I'm already virtually Han Solo. There.
Yeah, and it rocks.
I know.
Yes, I was floating outside of B5, so. I couldn't breathe very deeply.
Maybe one last big part of our chat for today that's in the mix here is Zoom, but in VR, right? So the Spatials meeting app now, you're floating in that too.
Would that be called Vroom?
Vroom. Vroom.
Vroom, vroom.
I mean, they should totally take that name. I mean,
yeah, in a
it's probably not available, but yeah, come on.
Actually, Zoom should probably take Vroom.
Yeah, and make their VR option.
Should do, but that's a little disconcerting there about, you know, it's now floating torsos, you know, in a meeting room. I guess that's a good way to make sure everybody's the same height.
And I guess it depends on, you know, which way they're floating. As long as they're floating upright and having conversations, it's probably better than floating face down.
I mean, we know that in lockdown, none of us have actually been wearing pants for the last 2 months. So, it's probably the safest way to do things.
And you know what? I'm okay with that. It's the meetings where I go to where people forget to wear deodorant that are more problems.
Well, yeah, you... on the internet, no one can smell you.
Well, one thing I will say about this particular platform that I find interesting is that they have it available across multiple headsets, right? So they have it on Oculus Quest, they have HoloLens, Magic Leap, and on the web app. So I think that itself is showing that some of these things are hopefully going to be less platform-specific, less device and platform-specific, and more inclusive, because that's what made the web successful, right? That's what has made many of these gaming platforms like Fortnite successful, is that they're available on a variety of devices, regardless of where you come from, right? And they're not, I don't see that same level of adoption and that same level of virality unless things are cross-platform. And much as I, as our listeners and both of you know, I'm all in on the Apple platform, it's not going to ever reach everybody, right? So in order to connect with other people on different platforms, I'm going to have to use other tools, and I do. So I think that was an interesting aspect to this particular piece around Spatial.
Yeah, I actually, and just watching the content to the actual meetings that they showed videos of was really interesting. It reminded me of a lot of the same types of stuff that we used to do back in Second Life days, but much, much, much more immersive. The hand and gesture movements that were, you know, leveraging the hand adapters, whatever you call those things in the Oculus, et cetera. The type of shared three-dimensional design work that was going on really, really resonated. I actually really liked it. Now, of course, they end the article with a screenshot of my least favorite meeting, which is 10 people sitting around a table staring at a PowerPoint screen, right? You don't need VR for that.
And it probably takes them a while to show up there, too. So there's probably a lot of wasted time, would you say, Michael?
Oh, if only there was an app to track that.
Gosh, wish I knew about one of those. Maybe we'll look in the show notes and we'll find out.
Yep.
Could be. Hey, and maybe to wrap things up with something that struck me, at least initially, as funny. We had a tweet come in from our friend Epred this week, and one of them was how the Oculus, right? So one of the examples that Andy mentioned could work here in Spatial, now works with almost any USB cable, including the one that comes with it, in the box. So to me, that was just a really funny lead-in, but I wasn't aware that there were so many challenges with passing the kind of data that was needed from the headset to the computer back and forth, and that it's not just charging, it's that data transmission. You need both.
Oh yeah, you got to think about, I mean, just think about the difference between a USB-C cable and a Thunderbolt cable. The amount of bandwidth and data that comes through.
It's the tethering, though, that kind of gets me, right? You know, why would you want to be so tethered?
Better bandwidth.
So we're right back again to how do we work this thing, yep. Right? How do we get rid of the latency? And if you thought audio was hard,
wait
go
until
ahead and
you
try
do fully immersive, right. Three-dimensional video.
Love it. Well, guys, I think that is getting us to the end of our time for today.
Yep.
And another great show. Lots more to talk about. We hope everyone comes back again next week. We'll have even more fresh news, new news, or even old news. That we do old news pretty
possibly old news. Too. We've missed so much stuff this week that we may need to revisit it depending on what happens next week when the
depends
world may
on,
end.
Exactly.
So, you know.
But
so
if you haven't heard
no
yet. If you haven't heard it yet, it's
new news
to you.
To you.
Exactly. There we go.
All right. Well, pop back again next week. Gentlemen, what a pleasure. Always fun. And hope everyone has a good week ahead.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network. And we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.